It's Thursday night, March 29th, 2018. Hold off those champagne bottles and apple cider bottles. Not clinched yet, but we're getting close. This is Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks postgame show. You want to talk Giants? There's a radio station for that. You want to talk A's? There's another radio station for that. Do you want to talk Warriors? Everybody else talks Warriors. This is your home to talk about Sharks hockey right here, right now. And if you want to be a part of the show, here's how you do it, folks. Join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app. Use that hashtag TealTownUSA. And also make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Instagram, YouTube. And make sure you follow us there on TealTownUSA.com. Joining me tonight, the lovely Rocket Backhander.
Hello, how are we all doing? Are we all surviving?
Yes. We're surviving, all right.
Wiping my tiny tears off my face.
Oh.
We'll be all right.
All right. And also joining me, and the guy who we're going to blame this loss on because somebody did his laundry and pissed off the dogs, it's Eric Landy.
Yeah, both were happening. I pissed off the dogs and, you know, I did the laundry. I mean, there is one or two blankets back there, so I guess that's kind of why the Sharks were in and out of it, but they just weren't feeling the mojo tonight.
But really, it is all your fault. Landy.
Oh.
Landy.
Oh no. Oh no. Did not start this.
We had to give you some crap about that. Anywho, let's talk about this game as the Sharks.
Balls. All balls, okay? End of story.
If you ever wanted to know if there were balls in hockey, well, apparently Landy said they were. Let's put it this way. Entering tonight, Sharks had a chance to clinch a playoff spot in a couple ways. They need at least to get a point to let that happen. We'll let you decipher how everything happened on this night as things got underway at the Shark Tank.
In Nashville.
Oh, that's right, in Nashville.
Yeah.
Sorry, my bad. See, this is what happens when you have post-concussion syndrome, folks. 5:26 in, Kyle Turris scores his 15th goal of the year from PK Subban and Smith to make it 1-0 Nashville. Only for nearly a minute and a half later for Logan Couture to get his 32nd of the season from Burns and Bodker, to which I say to Hockey Jerk, I wish he'd made the 20-assist bet with AJ, not the 20-goal bet, because then AJ would be a proud owner of a Mikhail Bodker jersey. Nonetheless, 6:55 in, game tied at 1. And then 10:14 in, Victor Arvidsson with his 29th of the year from Forsberg. Is it Johansson or Johansson?
Yeah, I think it's Johansson.
Johansson, got it. They make it 2-1 Nashville, 10:14 in. And then I'm guessing, and maybe we'll find out from Rocket, Brendan Dillon had a burrito with her because he had some burrito power on his shot for his 5th of the year, assisted by Hansen?
Right. Unfortunately, the weather out here is really, really rainy. It's been raining solid for the past 2 days, so I was unable to get a burrito with Dillon. But I think because I'm in the same city that he is, he feels my spiritual burrito protecting him.
That's what I'm talking about.
The burrito provides, and it was a beautiful snipe. Good job, baby.
All right, so overall first period thoughts with you, Mr. Landy.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like the Sharks were kind of in it. They were trying to really, I don't know, I guess pound for pound and kind of flesh for flesh and really match the intensity of the physicality that the Predators brought. However, I think what I would like to see from them is maybe, I don't know, play their game a little bit more.
Gotcha.
Yeah, play their game a little bit more. I think they kind of got sucked into Nashville's game early, but then they kind of started going into it and really just focusing on their game.
Gotcha. Rocket, what did you take from the opening frame?
Sharks kept it really tight and played it really close to the net to start the game. They were not getting UC Saros much room to make those shots. They were really trying to sneak it in on the wraparound and stuff. Timo Meyer. I still like this kid's game. He has so much upside, and he's learning so much just by being around this team and being able to play against other NHL teams and not languishing in the Barracuda anymore. So I'm glad that he's on this team. Like I said, more upside. We're going to see more of him, and he's going to be better. Evander Kane did a great job tying Ryan Ellison up in front of the net. Couture fired a nice snipe shot in, and I felt that that response was really important because generally when the Sharks don't respond, it kind of starts to drain their psychic energy throughout the game. But then again, it was a bad giveaway by Evander Kane that led to the 2-on-0 breakaway, and the Preds got that 2-1. So the Predators are the most penalized team in the NHL, which means that, you know, they kind of went into this expecting a lot of trips to the penalty box. Knowing that, I'm very disappointed in the power play tonight.
Yes, we will bang on the drum for this power play. My gosh, how many times do I need to buy a Brody Brazil jersey? I don't know. Alex, are you there with us? Maybe. Maybe not.
He's muted.
You're muted, dude, if you are. 1 second. Okay. We'll get back to Alex in just a jiffy, folks. But we will get on to the second period now, where Craig Smith gets his 22nd on the year from Fiala and Ellis at 10:38 to give the Predators a 3-2 lead. Nice shot. It just seemed like Jones' pad just went up just a little bit, and it just had enough to get through there for the only goal in the second period. But what did you guys think of, and I'll start with Landy here, what did you guys think of Martin Jones's play tonight?
You know, Martin Jones played decent. I think for me, though, really it was that fourth goal that he let in. I really felt like he did not get set. And as a result, I feel like when he didn't get set, it let the quick shot in. So if he would have been in the butterfly just a quick second beforehand, then, you know, it would have stopped that shot. And I think it would have not deflated the Sharks so much, because they kind of were a little deflated after that goal was let in.
Yeah. Like Tron Disc said in the chat, Randy Hahn summed it up in the second period perfectly, why the Sharks are losing this game. Quote, every time the Sharks gain some traction, they go right back in the box. And it seemed like, Rocket, that they had a rough go of it in the second period with the staying, I don't know, disciplined or just unlucky, or how would you put it, as they took four minors in the middle frame.
I think that the Nashville Predators are one of the more physical teams that the Sharks have had to face. And I don't mean that they're a bunch of goons out there on the ice. They are hard and they are fast. And I don't think that the Sharks were answering with the amount of physicality that they should have. I think they should have been harder on the forecheck. They should have been harder finishing against the boards. They should have made every single shift painful for the Nashville Predators, because again, like I said, the Predators are essentially the most undisciplined team in the NHL if they have the most penalties drawn against them. So for them to not cash in on that by exacerbating the situation just really was a letdown.
Yeah, well, for sure. Alex, good evening to you, sir.
good evening.
What did you take from... Yeah, your mic sounds really nice now. Perfect. What did you take from the... We'll call it the first 40 minutes.
I'll just follow up with the second period, or I guess the 40 minutes, is that the Sharks try to match speed with the Nashville's total domination on the neutral zone. And I was kind of surprised that the Sharks didn't try to control the neutral zone better. That's what led to the 3-2 goal, even the 4-3 goal in that matter of fact. But I just felt that by not controlling the neutral zone, the Sharks were working for all their shots way more than Nashville was.
And yeah, I totally agree with that, Alex. I think that's spot on with the neutral zone comment, because you saw that in the flow of Nashville, kind of like going through the neutral zone uncontested. The Sharks on that 8-game winning streak had done a really good job at standing on the blue line, you know, contesting the neutral zone. And they really weren't doing that. It was a lot of smooth transition by Nashville into the zone. And really on the exits from the Sharks, they were trying those chip off the wall, chip off the boards plays that kind of slowed down their own neutral zone attack.
Yeah, I mean, that are just, I thought this was actually Brent Burse's best game. I know he's going to get a lot of crap for it, but like, I thought he helps up 3 or 4 assists. And I thought, even though he didn't come out a winning game, I felt coming off of one of the best teams in the Western Conference, even in the league for sure, I felt this was a bounce back game for Brent Burns. He might not be a Norris candidate, but he's definitely been one of the strongest players for the Sharks for the past two weeks, Bob would say. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say so. The chat's giving love to Timo in here tonight. He got an assist tonight on the goal here. What did you think of Timo Rocket?
Yeah, like I said when we started the show, his play tonight kind of impressed me, because he will chase a guy down. Like, that's really what I like about him, is he doesn't kind of peel off once it's closer to, you know, the defensive end. And he just sticks with it. And he really does chase the guy down and kind of make him – he takes away that time in order for them to figure out who they're going to pass it to and to set up a play. And he does this consistently, but he also has a – he's starting to get more and more adept at pissing people off. And yeah. I like that. I really do. I like that. And not in like a nasty way, but just he gets under people's skin because – he's such a pest, and I really like that about his game. He's got so much potential to be, the next Ryan Clough. So I'm cool about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, guys, I think overall we can say that this was a damn good game played by the Sharks. I mean, they gave it their all, and really when it comes down to it, they just didn't have – that extra little oomph to get them over. And we've got to remember that this team is missing Jumbo. It's missing Pat. Donskoy. Yeah. Thank you. And you know, we're missing Joakim Ryan. Now Joakim was supposed to be a game time decision tonight, and DeBoer, I guess, held him out for Paul Martin. But you know, these are three regular NHLers that are not in the lineup, and they were able to hold serve pretty well with Nashville. So I think that's the silver lining that I take away from this, is that they played so damn well without those three players. And of course, they're also missing Goody, and they're missing Fear. Now, if maybe Fear and Goody were on the ice too, like maybe that tilts the fourth line battle, and maybe the Sharks manufacture a goal from the fourth line. And, you know,
100% agree with you on that.
Yep. And Nashville, I mean, Nashville's a four line team. And that's the thing. When the Sharks are fully healthy, I mean, fully sans Jumbo, you know, this is a four-line team. Basically, we kept saying it. It looked like kind of like Vegas, because it had a team of second line, you know, four second lines that could just come at you wave after wave after wave. Mm-hmm. Tonight, they just looked really depleted. But I was really happy with the effort. I was really happy with the game that they put on.
I think with Joe Thornton, it's more addition by subtraction. You're allowed to move the puck a lot faster on the power play, get more shots to the net, not stick around. I'm more or less worried about if we integrate Joe Thornton back into the lineup, does that halt the offense?
No, I don't think so. And honestly, you look at the power play and you look at where it's trended since Joe's gone out, it doesn't look the same. I mean, yeah, we all cursed about Joe, you know, slowing down the play, but you also have to remember this is a guy that could spot people out of the corner of his eye and really get that, you know, he liked to set up those really beautiful plays, which tonight might have worked on Saros, because funneling everything in the net didn't work.
Yeah, you know, but then you got somebody out there like Kevin LeBanc who passes more than Joe Thornton does, and that was absolutely ineffective. I was so mad every time that they got put out on the power play. I'm like, why is he out there?
That's a coaching mistake, and I fully agree with you on that, Rocket. I mean, Peter DeBoer needs to talk to Steve Spott and say, hey, look, you need to change up the personnel. Look, he's so quick to bring out the line blender 5-on-5. Why the hell not bring out the line blender out on the PP? I mean, hasn't Hurdle faced his demotion enough? You know, can't he come back onto that top power play unit? Or hell, even Timo Meier replace Kevin LeBanc on that first unit? You know, get a net front presence, because right now, I mean, Evander Kane, they're using him more as a shot, kind of shot first player instead of the crashing the net guy. So they really need a crashing the net kind of guy, i.e. you either put Hurdle on there, park his big ass out in front of the goalie, or you use Timo Meier, just that freaking battering ram right in front.
Bam.
For me, I would say the loss of Donskoy is more of a hurtful impact, because we move Tierney up to the first line, and that dramatically hurts the third and fourth lines. And Nashville really did hurt us today in the third and fourth line, like Landy was saying. So I'm wondering is Donskoy really going to come back this before the playoffs, or are they going to push him out first round?
You know, the Sharks have been notoriously tight-lipped on injuries, and I think that's where Eric was going to go. You can put it down on paper. I'm saying he re-separated that shoulder.
That would be my guess. And at this point, you have 4 games left. I mean,
oh man. Hey now.
AJ, and no one's looking for a backdoor shot on the power play, which Rocket said, I got a shot for your backdoor. Oh boy. That's kind of where Donskoy would come in, in the sense that you kind of it kind of balances out the lines. And for that matter, Eric Fehr, I mean, he's had a very good time here with San Jose.
He's super important.
Yeah, he's been very important.
He's been super effective on that fourth line. He is the glue and the key. He's the key glue for the fourth line.
You know, we joke about it, but seriously, he slots everybody into their natural positions, right? And by removing him, you now have a point where you have to put Tierney on the top line, which I don't know why you have a natural centerman in Pavelski. You then put another centerman, so they're kind of doing almost the same overlapping role there.
Yeah.
And then you have Kane. It just doesn't make sense to me why to make that move. If anything, I'd move Hurdle up to that top line, put Couture and Bodker and maybe – I don't know. I Carlson on that second line, or even Meier, Timo, put Timo and Bodker and Couture together, and then on that third line, have Tierney center it again.
I'm surprised LeBanc wasn't on the top line. I thought maybe if you have Pavelski at center, he takes that shot more. But
you know who I've really really liked game that we just witnessed. Marcus Sorensen, that kid kept going in to the boards, was such a puck hound. I mean, had 3 or 4 excellent shots on goal tonight that Saros just, you know, went out all out crazy and you know, saved them all. But Sorensen deserves a look past the fourth line, either a third line look or a second line look. But I really liked his game tonight.
I think he was probably the only one on the team that really got snake bit. I mean, he had a couple of really good shots right in there, and he just got shut down every single time. I really wanted him to sink one of them just to get a little bit of a reward for the amount of work that he put in tonight.
Yeah, I was really hoping he scored that goal in the third period.
Oh, well, let's talk about that, because we go into the third and you have a 6-on-4 and you should be funneling pucks to the net. Instead, Kevin LeBanc drains 10 to 12 seconds trying to make a decision. He's got to learn that he doesn't have that much time out there. It's not junior where you can take that extra second to make the, you know, the exact play you want to make. It's got to be instinct. Look at Pavelski. Look at how fast that puck comes onto his tape and how fast it leaves, especially when he's setting up other people. He's got to learn it. He's got to learn it, and it's got to be soon.
I completely agree.
Maybe they send him back down.
I think he goes through waivers if you send him back down again.
Yeah, cool, let's get him on waivers.
Yeah. He'll get picked up by Vegas. No problem. the third period, Nashville just finished off the scoring with two goals in a row. That was the first time they actually did that. But the Sharks got a power play goal. Yes, you heard me. They got a power play goal, folks. No, they didn't. It just expired.
They did not. Yeah, it was close strength.
So Mikhail Bodker with his 15th on the year from Tierney and Meyer ties it at 3-3 at 5:54. Ryan Ellis from at 10:06 with a booming shot that I think Joner would want to have back. Nick Bonino with his empty netter makes it 5-3. We talked about Jones earlier. Let's talk about UC Saros. Wow. He stopped 39 of 42 tonight. He stopped, and I'm making sure I'm seeing this right. The Sharks had 19 shots on the power play tonight and stopped them all. We've made fun of it in the past about goaltenders standing on their head and making it look like a Vezina candidate. But my gosh, he could be a Vezina candidate after that performance tonight.
But he's been like this all season for the Nashville Predators. I know you all don't watch Central Division games, and that's cool, but I got to go to bed early, so I kind of get stuck watching the hockey in my time zone unless it's Sharks game. So I've seen this kid play all season, and he's been very consistent. I think I said this earlier where he's the Arendelle for the Nashville Predators and like just puts on a clinic.
No, I totally agree with Rocket here on UC Saros. I mean, the guy is just, he's going to be the goalie of the future for Nashville for sure.
Yep.
And
yeah,
I just, it just sucks to kind of come in and get stonewalled by a goalie like that. But sometimes it just happens, you know?
Yeah. And one of the things I compared it to was freaking that game against the Oilers with Ben Scrivens. And there's just a goalie that's just, oh my goodness, on their head and everything. It's one of those games that you just have to, you know what, you got beat by a really damn good goalie, so kudos to you, because what a wow, that was an unbelievable performance by that. We want to welcome those of you who just finished watching, not Brody, but Jim Cosimore and Curtis Brown to Teal Town After Dark. By all means, make sure you smash that subscribe button, and also hit that bell so that I'll notify you when we go on the air. We do this after every game, home and away, regular season, and so close to postseason that we will do this. So make sure you join us there. Make sure you also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Instagram. We'll be doing a lot more stuff as we approach the playoff time here.
All right. So just for shits and gigs, guys, UC Saros' stat line tonight coming into the game, 21 games played. He's 28-5. Get this, 2.44 goals against average at a .925 save percentage.
Wow. Pretty good.
And that's like, it bothered me so much when homeboy was like, Predators are disrespecting the Sharks by playing their backup goalie. I'm like, yo, Sharks played Dell against Nashville the last time they were in Nashville, Homer. It goes both ways.
And listen to Jones' stat line here. 55 games started, 29 wins, 18 losses, 918 save percentage, 2.45 goals against. I mean, guys, Saros is a damn good goalie.
So what you're trying to say is we should trade Jones to Nashville for Saros. Is that what you're getting at, Landon?
No, we're going to trade Dell for Saros. No, Kevin in the chat saying that Saros.
I have a trade to announce. We have a trade to announce.
Kevin in the chat saying that UC Saros is a starter for a lot of teams. I mean,
yeah.
If they don't, if Preds don't re-sign him, even if they do, well, you know, if Preds don't re-sign him, I mean, I'm pretty sure if he goes out there, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid as a starter.
I mean, outside of Carter Hutton, I mean, he's probably the best backup goalie in the league.
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Aaron Dell might have something to say about that,
though. Dude, well, Aaron Dell's rocking a 915 save percentage. Meanwhile, Carter Hutton's a 934.
So let's have the backup Vezina trophy race, right? That would be between Hutton, Saros, and Dell. I mean, that's...
What if they just give it a different trophy? Like, make it the Rocket Backhander Memorial Trophy. Why not name it after me? Screw it. I want a trophy named after me for the best backup goalie in the NHL regular season, okay?
There you go.
It's the Rocket ribbon. It'll just be like a little blue ribbon that says you won. Yeah.
Does anyone know how many years are left on Pekka Rinne's contract?
Yeah, you know what? I just pulled that up. So Pekka Rinne is signed through next season, and then he's a UFA. Saros is a restricted free agent after the end of the season. I would be surprised if he gets tendered an offer sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yes. Either offer sheeted or he'll go to ARB. Because I feel like the Preds will probably have to lowball him there.
Or they could trade him. Or they could trade Pekka Rinne.
Rinne's been that franchise wall, though, man. That would really just demoralize a lot of people if they
traded a lot of people. But you get Saros, your next future 10-year goalie, if it turns out to be all right.
Yeah, you got a point there.
Yeah. M. Hackle is also saying Malcolm Subban. You know, and Kevin Lacey, that's a great point. Preds moved Hutton to make room for Saros.
Look, between them and, I mean, Tampa Bay, I mean, they're goalie and defensive factories. I just, you know, it kind of used to be like the Sharks used to be when we used to have Wass running the show. Although, Evgeny is doing a nice Wass impersonation. Warren Strelo, guys, old goalie coach for the Sharks, he's the reason why we had the three-headed monster.
Yeah, and had such strong netminding.
Ted in the chat bringing up a really good point that Pekka Rinne also has one of the best defensive cores in the league in front of him.
That's true.
Yeah.
It might be one of those, Miami things.
Yeah, the hashtag the Niemi effect.
Yeah, what was it? Gen X also saying Saros has proven he's a number one, unlike all the other Magic backup guys who try to start and darling it.
I think I would the other guy though that I would also look at is Philip Grubauer. I think he's a really, really decent backup who I like as well, who could really step in. I know what you're talking about, Gen X, for sure.
Yeah. So overall thoughts on tonight? We'll start with Mr. Martinet.
A great overall game to watch. One of the most entertaining games of the season, for sure. We didn't get any points, but it was a fun game to watch. For the most part, I think the Sharks are locked in the second seed. I don't think they're going to catch Vegas, but just a great overall game to watch.
Rock?
The Sharks had so many chances gift-wrapped on the man advantage that they could have taken advantage of. If they had scored on every single power play opportunity they had, this would be a different show. But special teams lost the game for the Sharks, and I really hope that they do some soul-searching. You know, they consult the Ouija board. They get different kinds of fruit snacks. Maybe they switch out the massage therapist to, like, the left-handed massage therapist. And they get their shit together for special teams. It is too close to playoff season for this crap to happen. I mean, they're good at drawing penalties. Don't get me wrong. They're great at that. Mm-hmm. But they need to take advantage of the gifts that the hockey gods give them.
Yeah, totally agree.
Landy, I'll let you go on after that.
Look, I mean, when my dad comes down and watches the game and says, "Damn, this is the most exciting game I've seen in a long time." you know it's good because he always leaves after the first period because he hates seeing the Sharks lose. So, I mean, you know, if he says that, you know, it's really exciting. So, I mean, awesome. I think it's good, but man, they left some points there on the table. That's all I got to say about that.
Oh, man. I'm not going to say this because I don't want to piss off Alex, but if you're in the chat, just check out.
I'm already looking at it.
Yeah. AJ, the Preds have decent D, but it's not like they can make Nemo look good.
Even though Chicago made Niemi look pretty good.
Right? Mm-hmm.
All right.
And hashtag with that, Fesner worthy.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
All right. And with that, folks, I think it's time.
Do it.
I think it's time. Wait. Oh, I've been challenged. I should
do
say
it.
For preface this. I've been challenged that I'm not supposed to do my John Shorthouse voice. I'm supposed to do the NHL wraparound in the voice of Sean Connery.
Oh.
That's right. So it's time for the NHL wraparound.
Reach around.
It's the wraparound to back. Oh, boy.
This is going to be a long show.
Yeah.
Everybody's saying reach around, all right?
It's the reach around, bud.
Rob Iman, time for the NHL roundup. Oh, boy.
Bend over and grab your ankles, boys.
Yeah, it's time to reach it around. Grab that bottle of lube.
Oh, wow. Man, see what happens when Landy has his laundry cleaned in a way? Oh, man.
In Calgary, those Dion Buckles are leaving 5-0 with 2:20 to go in the third period. In Vancouver, it is tied 1-1 between the Canucks and the Oilers. Connor McDavid with his 41st season.
Oh, God. This is horrible.
I'm going to die.
Please, someone help me.
All right, fine. In Los Angeles, the game that we are watching right now, the Kings and Coyotes are tied up 1-1, second period with 15:10 to go. Jeff Carter tied it up late in the period for his 11th on the season. Connaughton with his 10th for the Desert Dogs. In the finals, we have a change at the top of the Atlantic Division. The Bruins beat the Lightning 4-2 as the Bruins now take sole possession of first in the Atlantic.
This is pretty good. Ronco in the chat, or the guy from Saw with a speech impediment.
Connaughton has 10 goals.
He does have 10 goals.
Nice.
All right. So the Lightning lose 4-2, and they also lose first place. In
Mike.
Buffalo! Oh, boy. The Red the Wings.
Double from Brussels.
Oh, no, you guys. No, I'm not going to. The Detroit Red Wings beat the Buffalo Sabres 6-3. A three-goal third period by Detroit finishes off the Sabres. In overtime, I'll do this one. Sidney Crosby's just the greatest player ever. Sidney Crosby's just amazing. He shot pucks into the dryer. Yes, thank you, Pierre. As Sidney Crosby scored 19 seconds into overtime for the Penguins to beat the Devils 4-3. In Ottawa, the Senators' win actually helps the Toronto Maple Leafs clinch a playoff spot by winning 3-2 in overtime thanks to Peugeot's OT winner with 16 seconds left in regulation. The Wild dampen the Stars' hopes of getting into the postseason with a 5-2 win over Dallas in Minnesota. And Parisi with 2 goals, Sucker with his 31st, Dumba with his 12th. And in Chicago, an interesting development happened late in this game as the Blackhawks had to go to their emergency goaltender who was signed on a tryout and had to play in a game, and that didn't help the Jets do anything else in the third period as they lose 6-2. The Blackhawks pick up a win with Kane, Saad, Jurco scoring twice, Gustafson, and DeBrincat all scoring. So that brings you up into the updates of the world of hockey right now. Oh, and the Desert Dogs have just scored to make it 2-1 at 13:57 left to go in the second period. Max Domi with his ninth on the year.
So oh, Mike. That name can be retired and die in a fire.
The Desert Dogs?
Oh!
The Desert Dogs are currently... currently beating the Los Angeles Kings, and it is still a tough game. It is a hard game. It is a game that can be won, but it is hard.
You must shoot for the stars.
Oh God! Oh,
just think if it were still Olympic season, we just go off of the heart and go hard,
No, it's Ronco. It's not that the Desert Dogs suck. It's just I hate the name.
It's the Desert Dogs. There's a drinking
dogs.
Game.
It's the dogs.
So let's get you updated on the West right now as we speak. Vegas at 103 with the Sharks loss. They can clinch the Pacific Division with their game that they play tomorrow night. San Jose's at 98 points. LA's at 91. Would be nice for the Kings to lose today and tomorrow. That would be the earliest way that the Sharks get into the postseason. Nashville's at 111. Winnipeg stuck at 104. So the Preds closing in on their first division title. Minnesota is at 96. And looking like they're going to be close to closing out that spot in the number three spot and open up against Winnipeg. In the wild card, you have St. Louis at 91, Anaheim currently sitting at 91, and Colorado fighting to get back into it. Dallas looks like they might be just on the outside looking in now with that loss to Minnesota tonight. So... that's the case. Do we have, if the playoffs started today, Miss Backhander?
We do. Okay. Would you like me to start with the Eastern Conference the Western Conference?
Eastern, please.
All right. Your Western Conference current matchups are Las Vegas and St. Louis. If the playoffs started today, San Jose would take on the Los Angeles Kings. The Nashville Predators would see the Anaheim Ducks. And the Winnipeg Jets would take on the Minnesota Wild. Over in the Eastern Conference, the Boston Bruins would take on the New Jersey Devils. Tampa Bay Lightning battles Toronto Maple Leafs. Washington Capitals and Columbus Blue Jackets. And finally, the battle for Philadelphia. Oops, I'm sorry. The battle for Pennsylvania. Pittsburgh versus Philadelphia. If the playoffs started today.
Oh my.
I need water after that. Jeez.
Oh my God.
No, I cannot go to the chalkboard and answer questions.
Okay.
Sorry, guys, I had to.
Wow. Okay. Let's go to the chat.
I would like to announce that Teal Town is moving to Pornhub.
We're getting sponsored.
Yeah, we're going to be opening our new channel.
Wow. All right. Okay, 1-900 if the playoffs started today. Yep, that's right. next.
Oh, my God. Oh, man. Oh, my God.
I am so happy that this chat gets archived now. Yeah. It's not even funny.
Yeah. That's why I've centered myself a lot more.
Gen X, I'm not going to even talk to you. No, we're not even going to say that.
No.
But good on you.
No. No.
Phantom 0044 sums it up perfect. That was dirty.
Thank you. I tried.
Almost as dirty as a Donskoy dangle.
Well, hey, now.
He dangles it out of the jock strap.
Yeah. What's dirtier, hurdles between the legs goal or if the playoffs started segment?
No, you gotta say it in the sexy voice, though.
Oh, yeah.
That was filthier than a LeBanc shootout goal.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, all right. Well, if no.
Donskoy's what?
Yeah, I wouldn't be paying attention to me either after that. All right. All right, so with that, final thoughts, Mr. Martin A., where the people can find you.
You really want me to do like a final thought, something really deep about... No, you can find me on Twitter at AlMartinA. It's in the bio down there. Great game, like I said before. Yeah.
Not really much to say after that.
I'm like, what do you want me to do? Turn into JFK? I don't
know. Scott, guys, I gotta run to the bathroom real quick. I'll be back.
Oh boy.
I'm sorry, but this is, you're asking me to follow up something like after that. Landy, take it.
Here we go. We'll throw this around. Do we have a Gambrell sighting on Saturday?
He's ready, but I don't know that Peter DeBoer is ready. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like Gambrell's ready, but is Peter DeBoer ready?
Are you afraid he's gonna come too soon?
Oh. You know what? We had that the line vibe, but he killed it.
Yeah.
So this is why we can't have nice things, guys.
Yeah, no, I know. Tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, I'm at Eric Landy. You can find me on all that social media garbage with my first name and my last name. Let's see. One thing though that I really, really want to stress, because we are pushing to 700 subscribers on the
YouTube. Yes.
We're currently at 672. Guys, please let friends, family, any of the hockey nerds that you guys know, let them know about us. I really want to try and get to 1,000 at the end of the playoff run this year. And you know what? As soon as we get that critical mass, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. We're going to have some really exciting stuff to announce soon too. As soon as this channel grows a little bit more, but yeah, I mean, honestly, we got to keep on point and keep this train moving.
Yeah. Miss Rocket Backhander.
Final thoughts. People can find me. Final thoughts. Sharks are going to be all right. They just need the power play stuff together. I think they'll be fine. The injuries. Stay healthy, you guys. And whoever is out there not playing because they're injured, healing plasma vibes to them. Get your butts back on the bench. We need you. My name is Rocket Backhander. You can find me on Twitter making all sorts of inappropriate comments about hockey and life in general here in Nashville. The size of the potholes. My God. It's capital R, capital B, little Ackhander 76. And that's on Twitter. Or you can find me taking pictures of various alcoholic beverages in various towns around Nashville. And also shots of me wearing my lovely teal clothing on Instagram. Rocket Backhander, one word. Thanks a lot. It's been fun. Back to you.
Hey, you know what we really need to do, though? This is just a thought I'm just having right now. If we set up a Patreon, whoever you know donates and subscribes to the Patreon, they get a ringtone in the Rocket Backhander sexy voice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's our Backhander 76 on Twitter for all your voiceover needs. I'll leave it at that. Final thoughts from me. Man, that power play needs to get going. Yes, we almost had one, but shoot, like I've said before, and I'll say it again, I'll mention 2006 once again. You get that power play going, you watch out, like you've seen in 2016. If you go 2006 and the power play sucks, you're gonna have people take liberties at the Sharks, and that's not a good thing. You can follow me on Twitter at @puckguy14. You can also hit me up on the Instagram. And of course, if in case you missed anything and you want to watch this part again, might I suggest the if the playoffs started today segment of the show, check us out on TealTownUSA.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, or the YouTube channel. Check us out there for all that. And with that, we will be back with you. Some of us will be following a Sharks and Golden Knights matchup. Maybe we can convince somebody that's going to the game to check in with us. That'd be awesome as a huge, and I mean huge, contingency of Sharks fans are invading T-Mobile Arena for the game against the Golden Knights. So we will be back with you for that. And we want to thank you all for watching us. Again, hit that subscribe button. By all means, Landy's right. We're getting close to 700. We hit, I think, 500 at near the end of the playoffs last year. So we're getting everything ready for the playoffs. So make sure you check us out. Don't forget, folks, April 7th, the last game of the season, we have our annual tweet up. Buttons are on their way. And I will tell you this right now. The buttons look awesome this year. So check us out there. Guys, why didn't you tell me my hair looked bad? So until Saturday night, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. And have a wonderful night. And if you're in Vegas, be safe out there. Good night, everyone.